Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
New year, new decade. I'm excited, and I hope and pray you are too. Chuck, you motivated me. It is wonderful what we're going to do this year. I want to start out with a story. There was a gentleman who retired, and he loved to play golf. So he played golf for 15 years in retirement. He was 75. He came home one day from golfing, threw his golf clubs down in front of his wife. He said, "I'm giving up golf. I'm not doing it anymore." And his wife said, "Well, you love golf. Why aren't you going to continue playing golf?" He said, "Well, I can't see anymore. I hit the golf ball and I can't follow it, even though I squint. I'm giving it up. I can't see where the ball goes anymore." And the wife thought about that and said, "Well, I have an answer for you." He says, "What's that?" He says, "Why don't you take my brother golfing with you? He has perfect eyesight. He just came back from the eye doctor and he's got 20/20 vision." No. He's not going to want to go golfing with me. Sure, he loves to get out. He can ride in the golf cart with you. He can watch you hit the ball and he'll be able to see it. Well, he thought about it for a while. Finally, he said, "Hey, that might be a good idea." So he calls up his brother-in-law. They set a day to go golfing. And they go out to the golf course. They get on the first hole. And he says to his brother-in-law, "Now, you can see, right?" He goes, "Oh, I have perfect vision, 20/20 vision." He says, "Well, that's great. Now, I want you to watch where I hit this ball. Stand behind me." And he stands behind him, and the guy gets ready, and he swings away, hits that ball. And he says, "Do you see it?" He says, "I see it perfectly. Wow, did you see where it landed?" "Oh, I see where it landed." He says, "Great, let's go." So they jumped in the golf cart and just about ready to take off to go find the ball. He says, "Now, where do we go?" He goes, "I don't remember." You see, one had bad eyesight. The other was having Alzheimer's. He couldn't remember. Okay. Today, I want to speak to you about how important it is not only to see, but to remember. In the very first reading, the Magi are leaving Herod, and they see the star again, remembering what God provided for them, a guiding star, and they rejoiced greatly. And when they finally found the baby, now, it was a physical star. What did they find? A spiritual star, the star, capital S. And what did they do? They did four things. The first thing they did was bow down. They fell down. The second thing they did was worship. The third thing they did was open up the treasury or give. And the fourth thing they did was left and went home and told everybody, I'm sure, what happened, just like those shepherds. We're in a series called Founders Month. I get to speak to you about falling down. Next week, you may hear a little bit about worship. The third week, a little bit about giving. The fourth week, about, hey, we're here to do a purpose. Go and tell. Now, think about those Magi, Gentiles. They were the scientists of their day. That's who they were. And they see the baby Jesus, and they can't help themselves. They fall down. You see, when you're in the presence of God, you are reminded of who you are. Job puts it this way: "Before you, I am clay. Before you, I am dust." You see, when we stand before God and we remember who we are, oh, we can't help but fall down and remember we're nothing but clay before God. You know, the devil's in the business of making us forget. And it is our sinful nature that tends to forget also, not only physically, but also spiritually. Now you know why the children of Israel always seem to forget. Okay, what God would do, and God would say, now go into the promised land, don't forget, and they would forget. So God would celebrate with the children of Israel festivals. What was a festival? A festival was a way to get the people to remember what God has done in the past, what he's doing today, and what he's going to do for us in the future. Let's take first fruits. God always provides first fruits in the past. Today we celebrate first fruits. He's giving us first fruits, and someday he'll send the first fruits. The festivals were a way of going from the past to the present to the future. Jesus always had to get his disciples to acknowledge the physical world and know there's a spiritual element that we all must remember. And in the second reading for this evening, notice what happens. Jesus feeds 4,000 people in the feeding of the 4,000 right before this scripture reading. Then he gets the disciples together, and they get in a boat. Now, how many of you have ever gone for a boat ride? Okay, now let's say you're going for an all-day boat ride. What are you going to want to bring along? Probably some food, something to drink. Well, they get in the boat, they head out, and they realize, we didn't bring any food. We got one little loaf. Jesus, using it as an opportunity, is trying to move his disciples from physical food to a spiritual realm. And he says, listen, this is what you should be concerned about and worried about. The leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees, their theology is bad. They don't get it. They push works righteousness instead of by grace through faith. And then you should be concerned about the leaven, the yeast of Herod. Herod and his terrible moral ways. And you know what the disciples do? The disciples say, we don't have any bread. They completely miss. They're worried about bread. And they're blind to the spiritual concern. And Jesus says, really? Is that what you're discussing? Don't you understand? Don't you see? You have eyes, you don't see. You have ears, you don't hear. And you have a mind and you don't understand. Are your hearts so hardened? And so what does Jesus do? He takes them to the past, to the present, to the future. If you need 20/20 vision, Jesus is saying, remember. Part of vision spiritually is remembering what God has done in the past. He goes back to the feeding of the 5,000. That happened way earlier in the life of the disciples. He says, what did you remember about that? Well, 12 baskets full. He says, today I fed the 4,000. What happened? Oh, we collected 7 baskets full. And he says, do you not yet understand about the future? He took them from the past to the present to the future. I have the honor today to take you to the past of a blaze. And to do that, I want to say, do you see what I see? It's a song we sing about the Magi. I'm sure if they said, do you see what I see? A star. Pointing up? No. A star in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The physical star, the spiritual star. I want to take you back to 2005. 2006 at our Savior Lutheran Church in Tulsa. There was a group that loved to play music, called themselves Zion's Fire. The group that was playing for you tonight, one missing because he's recovering from surgery, and Travis Patterson. But they would gather on a Sunday night in the sanctuary and play their instruments to the glory of God. And then they'd take turns sharing a message or two you know, a little homily, a little Bible study during the singing of those songs. And they invited Pastor Dreyer, and I'd go there, but I couldn't go there all the time. And we had a DCE intern at that time. Her name was Zeal Beale, and she would help out also. And 2005 moved to 2006, and the good Lord brought me out into this area of North Broken Arrow for a golf tournament. And as I looked around, I said, well, there's a lot of homes being built out here. Somebody should start a church out here. As you say, the thud in the head. And I'm going, wow, maybe we should do something about that. I went to listen to Zion's Fire, and I sat down with the leadership there and said, what do you guys think about taking this outside of our Savior and starting a mission church someplace? I was singing, do you see what I see? And they were going, ah. And I think what they saw and what I saw was two different things. And what the Lord wanted us to see was a whole nother thing. But they agreed. Zion's Fire said, okay, what would we do? Well, we could rent a building, a school or something, and we could start a Saturday night service. You guys who in the band could be foot washers on Saturday, and on Sunday you can come to our Savior and be fed. And they bought into it. And what Zion's Fire saw, what I saw and what God saw, you know, that vision changed and was a little different. I don't think any of us saw the location we'd end up at. Nobody envisioned the building we would have. And nobody, I can guarantee you this, envisioned how many hours it would take and years it would take to be where we are in 2020. So, big plans were made in 2006 to be ready for Easter 2007. And we had a group of people that a core group. I asked for foot washers on Saturday night and Sunday morning. They could go back to the main church, the Tulsa campus, you might say, and worship there. And we planned to opening our first service, Easter 2007. We thought we were well prepared. We were going to have an Easter egg hunt in the morning, that evening, have a worship service. We rented Liberty Elementary. And Joel, were you the first janitor we had there? Joel was with us in 2007. Not a member, just cleaning up after us. In the morning, we had an Easter egg hunt. It was a miserable time because we had more kids. I shouldn't say miserable time. It was a great time, but we had more kids than candy. We planned for 100, and we probably had 300 kids show up. It was not something that we thought, boy, we really hit a home run. That evening, we had a worship service, our first service on Saturday night at Liberty Elementary. 2007, we continued at Liberty Elementary. We had a sign up front. Kids from the neighborhood would come. People would just stop in because anybody dropped their kids off in the morning or at night. They saw our sign at Liberty Elementary, ablaze, church worships here. Had a lot of visitors. 2007 moves to 2008. And the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod wanted congregations to be committed. And they wanted us to sign on the dotted line that we would be actively involved and put our money towards a new mission start. Well, we already were doing that. So we signed up as a covenant congregation. And we signed that we'd not only be active in beginning one new ministry, but possibly a second. Well, 2008 rolls around, and our Savior Lutheran Church, the mother church, I'm going to say, you know, the people there kind of struggled. We got some of our own people going out on Saturday night. There's a lot of emphasis going there. We've signed the piece of paper, covenant congregation, but are we all on the same page? And around 2007, moving into 2008, the good Lord kind of hit the core group at Ablaze with, I mean, if you would say, what was your vision when you started? Well, in a couple of years, we'll buy a piece of property, have a building up, and we'll be worshiping. And the good Lord kind of changed us. No, I want you to do ministry, not just buy land and put up a building. How about doing a daycare, a preschool? The Lord touched leaders within our group, and we came together and said, what about that? Oh, hey, that's kind of a neat idea. A preschool, because a lot of churches are doing preschools and they're filled. Let's consider that. So we, you know, started going down that track. And in 2007, moved to 2008. In 2009, we got an expert from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod named Carol Stoops to fly in from St. Louis to pull all the membership of our Savior together and say, listen, are you all on the same page? Do you know what you're going to do? Because if you don't come together and get committed, you'll be doing all this. And we came together, came up with a goal that we were going to build a facility where youth could learn about Jesus. Adults could learn about Jesus and families could. And we kind of focused all the membership together. So we kind of had a vision in North Tulsa, what we're going to try to do in North Broken Arrow. And in that vision, we together as a family decided a preschool was something that we were going to move towards in North Broken Arrow. And we voted on it, came together with the help of Carol Stoops. It was an SMP meeting, a strategic ministry planning meeting, and we were all on the same page. But that doesn't mean that's feasible out here. So 2008 moves to 2009, and we have the SMP, then 2010 rolls around. And in the meantime, we hired, between 2009 and 2010, a corporation that would do a feasibility study, that would call people all over this area and say, hey, if their Christian preschool would open up, would you send your children? And after months of research, they came back to us in 2010 in the spring and said, listen, if you start a preschool, you'll fill it eventually, probably within 2 years. So go ahead. Now, why would we do that? Because the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, a financial organization in the Missouri Synod, said, listen, if you want money, if you want a loan for a preschool and for land, that's what you got to do. So at the end of 2010, now we've got the direction, SMP, we know what we're going to do. We have the feasibility study in the spring of 2010 that says, yes, you can do it. Now the people really had to get committed. Now the people had to put what we say, the rubber to the road, and commit their finances over and above their tithes. And in 2010, a group of people in North Tulsa committed over and above their tithe, a chunk of change, over $300,000. And in 2010, money started coming in because we had a capital campaign. In 2011, that money came in and we put it in the savings account. In the meantime, we found this piece of property. And the gentleman, a good Christian man, was willing to sell it for us. By the end of 2013, we had enough in the bank to pay cash for about 4 acres of land that this building is on right now. The whole time from 2007 to 2012, though, we worshiped at Liberty Elementary. Some of you were there. Chuck, that was before your time. We worshiped in a cafeteria. The cooks, I know you remember that. And we did Bible study in the hallway, and the children did their studies in the hallway because there was no auditorium. Okay? But by the time we worshiped there for 5 years, cleaning up after us was Joe, they every 6 months upped our rent 20%. After 5 years, we were paying roughly $2,000 a month to rent Liberty Elementary. It was going to break us. And so we started searching in 2012 for a new facility, and there's no place out in this area to rent. But there was a little Baptist church, a tin shed, I hate to say it that way, about 1 mile as the crow flies that way, called County Line Baptist Church. I knocked on the door one day, talked to the pastor, and asked if he'd consider renting us his building on Saturday night. He said he'd take it to the elders, got back with me, and said yes. And for the next 5 years, we worshiped at County Line Baptist Church. Now, let me give it to you in perspective. A fresh mission start, a Lutheran mission start, calling themselves a Blaze, that used to worship in a elementary school, now is worshiping in a Baptist church. Yeah. That vision nobody comprehended and understood when we got started. If somebody said, hey, you'll be worshiping in a Baptist church for 5 years as Lutheran, I'd have said, where are you coming from? Now, it was a little difficult because with a school, we had all these visitors, kids from the neighborhood. When we moved a mile away to a Baptist church, we didn't quite have the visitors anymore. We had to kind of pull the belt up and prepare for that because we had the vision. We knew where we were going, not quite the people coming in, but we didn't have to load and unload musical instruments anymore. We had a home, you might say, where we could store the instruments. We no longer operated out of a trailer. 2012 turned to 2013. By the end of 2013, capital campaign finished. Cash in the bank. We paid for this land and had a chunk of change in the bank. But what the committed folks at Our Savior Lutheran did, they then moved from spring, end of campaign, to fall, new campaign. And they were willing to do it. Now, if you've ever been involved in church work, a back-to-back campaign is not a smart idea. Because people said, I've just been doing it for 3 years. You want me to commit to three more years? And the folks said, yes. And within 1 year, we had another campaign. It was entitled, Hands Together, Building a Children's Endeavor, and they raised over $300,000 again. And so at the end of 2013, we started all over with raising money. Why? Because the Lutheran Church Extension Fund said, you got skin in the game now. You got land. You paid cash for it. Now we want 10% of the loan in the bank, which was going to be like a $2.2, $2.5 million loan. That means we had to raise another $250,000. The pledges were over $300,000. So we were well on our way. And in between 2013 and 2016, money came in. Money was put in the bank. We worshiped the County Line Baptist Church, looking forward to the day when we build a piece of property. 2016 rolls around. The capital campaign is finishing up. We have the money. We get the okay from the loan. We get an architect. We schedule laborers for Christ in all 2016. We have 10% of the money in the bank. We're taking out this huge loan that the folks over at Our Savior never even thought of. That vision was huge for them. But we had a plan. We had the SMP. We had the feasibility study. We're going in the direction. And in the meantime, of course, if you remember what was happening in the world, 2009, stock market going this way, the giving of the people did this. 2016, summer rolls around. We're getting ready. Laborers for Christ are coming in 2017. December rolls around. We need commitments from individuals who step up and do a lot of the hard work. Dr. Spomer and Connie were worshiping with us that year, and I asked him if he'd consider it, and he jumped on it. By December, Dr. Spomer was on board. Kara Lowry was on board. She was going to be our new administrator, somebody who worships at another Lutheran church, Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Incredible woman. Thanks to Dr. Spomer, we found her, and Connie. And so we had Kara on board, Dr. Spomer on board. In the spring of 2017, George Culver, Laborers for Christ manager, project manager came aboard, and in 2017, in January, we're looking forward to building. Laborers for Christ come aboard in the spring. We break ground. We start building. People from all around came to help. Neighbors would stop by, and what's going on? The excitement at our Savior grew and grew. The capital campaign's over. Now many of them came out and volunteered. By April, May, and June, we had the structure up. The building was looking great. Come June, the playground was finished. By June, we already said goodbye to the laborers for Christ. 2017, first week in August, we have our first worship service in this sanctuary or this multi-purpose room. 61 people showed up. A week later, the school opens up. 71 little children walk through those doors to attend. Now, according to the business plan, one that we have followed all along, the master of that was Jeff O'Hara, the lead singer tonight, who put all that together, all the numbers, all the finances, was the go-to guy, okay? All that was, hey, you know, you'll probably fill that business plan, fill that school in about 2 years. Well, by the time 2017, we finished out, we're in, buildings up. By the time we roll to 218, guess what? The school is, I think we filled it by 218, and we had to go to a second worship service, a Saturday night and a Sunday morning. And 218, we saw great things happen between 217 and 18. We finished this building roughly around $350,000. Under budget. Yeah. 217, finishing up, the gentleman who sold us the land, 4 acres here, approached us and said, listen, I have 4 acres left. I'd like to sell you that land for the price you bought it 8 years ago from me for. And when it came to, it was about the same amount of money that we were under budget. So by the time we went from 270 to 218, guess what? We had doubled our size and acreage. And that whole vacant field out there was a gift from God. 2018 goes to 219, just last year. I don't need to remind most of you about that, but David Getty, a member who used to be at Our Savior, then went to Grace, a mission start, then went to Emmanuel, then went to Bakersfield, then went to the East Coast, came back, was going to come on board. He got cancer. He died. We changed our vision, and we went to the school and got a DCE intern called Shannon, and she's on board with us for a year. School, we upped the numbers because we needed more numbers because we had so many children wanting to get in. We upped the numbers from, I think, 105 to 112 or something, 103 to 112, and we are full. We got a waiting list. 219 ends. Here I am speaking to you, getting you to remember what God has done and ask you this question. Does it make you want to fall down and just go, wow, God, do you see what I see? What the Lord has done in the past. But I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about today and the future. Because he's not finished with us yet. Let me put it together for you, I guess, with another story. There was another retired gentleman in a small town. And after retirement, he thought he was going to do something different. So he rented a little building downtown in a small town. And he hung up a big sign, medical cures. Per visit, per cure, big sign, $500. Right next to it, if you're not cured, we'll give you $1,000. In this small town. This redneck drove by with his pickup and said, "What? $500 a visit? You'll be cured? If not, $1,000? I'm going to make some money," he thought to himself. He pulls his truck in. He walks in. The guy's there, an old geezer. He even recognized him. He knew this guy knew, you know, nothing about cures and medicine. And he said, "Come on in." He sat down. He says, "What's your problem?" He says, "Well, doc, I've lost my taste buds." "Oh, you lost your taste buds. Yeah, we got a cure for that." He goes, "You do?" He goes, "Yeah." He said to his assistant, "Go to the shelf, get me box 22 and an eyedropper." Assistant brings box 22. He opens it up. There's a bottle in there. Takes the cover off, takes the eyedropper. He says, "Now open your mouth." He goes over. 3 drops on his tongue. And all of a sudden, the guy starts coughing and hacking. And he goes, "Ah! That's terrible. That's gasoline." He says, "You're absolutely right. It is gasoline. You've got your taste buds back." "That'll be $500. He leaves. He's so mad. He's so angry. A week later, he comes back. He said, "Well, I'll get him this time." He goes in the office, and the guy goes, the old geezer says, "What seems to be your problem?" He says, "I've lost my memory. I can't remember." He goes, "Oh, we got a cure for that." He goes, "You do?" He goes, "Oh, yeah." He yells at the assistant, "Go to the shelf and get me box 22. And the guy jumps in, "No, that's not the cure. That's gasoline." He says, "Your memory has been restored. That'll be $500. He's so mad now. A week later, he comes back. He thinks about it. He's got the plan. He says, "I'll get this guy. I'm going to get..." And he goes in and he says, "What seems to be the problem?" He says, "I've lost my vision. I can't see. I'm going blind. I can't see anything. Everything's fuzzy." The guy goes, the old geezer says, "I'm so sorry. We don't have a cure for that." And he says to his assistant, he says to the guy, "I owe you $1,000. He says to his assistant, "Will you please bring me 10 $100 bills? She goes, "Okay." She walks over to the old geezer and hands him 10 $1 bills. And he says, "Hold out your hand." And he holds out his hand. And he says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, $1,000. He looks at that and he says, "Those aren't $100 bills. They're $1 bills. This is only 10 bucks. He says, "Your vision has been restored. That'll be 500 bucks. Now, why do I tell you that story? It is Jesus in the reading who talks about your physical abilities. How important seeing is, how important remembering. In fact, he says, "Remember." Do you see what I see? When you look at a blaze in this neighborhood, you know what I see? A star. A spiritual star. Grounded right here in this neighborhood. A star that shines the light of Jesus to the neighbors, to children coming in every day. A star that shines on Saturday night and Sunday morning. Do you see what I see? Everyone in this room is going to get older and lose some of their physical abilities. Maybe you'll lose your eyesight. Maybe you'll need cataracts, LASIK, a shot in the eye for degeneration. Maybe you lose your hearing. Maybe you're going to lose your ability to get around. Maybe you're going to need a wheelchair or a walker or a seeing wife. But guess what? It'll cost you something. Because you're going to die with all those issues. And guess what the great physician says? I don't promise you a cure in this life, but I'll make it up to you in the next life. You see, not the old geezer, but God Almighty says, listen, you're not going to be cured in this life. It'll happen in the next life. And I'm going to give you more than anything in this life in heaven. You may lose your eyes here, Joe, but in heaven you're going to see. You may lose your hearing here, but in heaven you're going to hear. But until then, he asks us, do you see what I see? A star. Turn to the person right next to you and say, he's talking about you now. As a family. You see, this is a physical building. But in God's eyes, the church is living stones built in the foundation of Christ, being built up to shine as an example. In 2019, shine. This year, we want the right vision. We want to focus in. We're going to do that for the month, and we're going to be excited about it. I had the privilege of saying, hey, let's remember. Jesus said that in our reading. Don't you remember the feeding of the 5,000? Don't you remember the last 13 years? Oh, we do now. Here's where the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, is spread out through you, through Dr. Spomer and I, through the teachers. Every day, we get to be a shining star in this neighborhood. And all glory and honor be to Jesus. Because what those disciples fared to see, physically, bread, spiritually, they had the bread of life. We have the bread of life with us. Amen.